Northwoods, welcome. I'm glad to be back with you. I've had a couple of opportunities in the past to speak with you, and so I'm overjoyed to be with you today, and I enjoy so much the music here and just the spirit of the place. And as I was coming back behind the stage, I passed all of the singers and the musicians, and I said, "Hey, man, make Jesus look good today." And they said, "Oh, yeah, and he doesn't need that much help, though." So yeah, they do a great job. They do a great job. I got a couple of favors, two favors before I begin. One favor is if you've heard me before, if you're new, I'll kind of bring you up to speed on this. But I heard John just a minute ago say, all of God's people say, okay. Now, when I'm preaching down in the south in Georgia, northwest tip of Georgia outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I just kind of my style, my passion, sometimes I'll say, "You can say amen right there." And I'm looking for a, or sometimes I'll put my hand on the Bible and I'll raise, like, "Can I have a witness?" And I'm looking for, amen. So if you work with me on that, it'll sure make me feel at home. And I appreciate that very, very much. The second favor I would like you to do for me is I'd like you to suspend your judgment of my words until all the way to the end. Okay, I'd like you to stay with me all the way to the end because we will learn an important biblical truth, and it's not the one end all, it's not the one end all kind of truth on this topic, but it will be a very, very important one, and I'd like you just to kind of stay with me the whole time. Thank you. Well, since infancy in Christ, I wasn't in Christ as an infant. In church, I've been in church since I've been in diapers, okay? I forever heard and hear and will continue to hear the advice, pray about it. Just pray about it. Well, after years of praying about heartache issues that never seem to improve, how are we supposed to feel about that common advice, pray about it? See, in my mind, if we prayed hard enough, believed strong enough, and recruited prayer warriors enough to storm the gates of heaven, we could see some miracles and we could see some momentous answers to prayer. I mean, in getting our prayer needs known in our age of social media, I mean, the sky is the limit. I mean, we can get the prayers out going. But then the experiment happened. This Christian celebrity and that Christian influencer used their global social media platforms to recruit thousands of prayer warriors to release and declare the realities that they wanted. But God did not answer. God did not show up to resolve the celebrities and influencers' tragedies and troubles. Now for me, this was terribly disheartening. It was just disheartening because if God did not respond to millions of faith filled prayer declarations from around the world, a frightening question arose. What makes me think my prayers will be answered for my cancer to be healed, my finances to improve, my children to come to faith, repent of sinful lifestyles, and walk with Jesus? Now, these are legit questions. How are we supposed to react to answered prayer. Now, for you note takers, unanswered prayers are designed to teach us. See, I find both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are contained answers of no and unanswered prayers. You know, as her father, as Michaela was growing up here, your pastor's wife, Michaela, there were many times she would come to me and over again, she would come to me and ask me. I said, stop asking. I've already told you no. She'd let it rest a little while and then come back with a different approach. But I was on to her. I was sly. I said, stop asking. I've already told you no. Well, God does the same thing. We find in Deuteronomy chapter number 3 that Moses pleads with God to allow him to enter the promised land. And God replies, enough of that. Stop. Speak no more to me of this matter. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 37, King Saul asked counsel of God, and the Bible plainly records God did not answer him. David, same David and Goliath fame, David prayed to erect a temple for God, and God replied with a hard no. With tears, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, begged God not to judge Judah harshly. God's answer, if Moses and Samuel stood before me praying, I would not listen. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 1. Jeremiah also in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8, he wrote, when I cry and shout, God shuts out my prayers. John the Baptist's disciples, they prayed for his release. Herod cut off his head. I'm pretty sure that's not the release they had in mind when they were praying. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, after praying for him because he was not healed, Trophimus was left by Paul at Miletus sick. Pastor Timothy's stomach ailments, they were not healed through prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul prayed for himself. And we're talking about the Apostle Paul here, wrote 25% of our New Testament, a quarter of our New Testament. This is the guy, if anybody had faith, he would be the guy. He prayed for himself multiple times, but God refused to take away Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some scholars think that might have been glaucoma or maybe even epilepsy. And then the supreme example, the supreme example of God answering no is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking with blood if there was any possible way to avoid the crucifixion. Here's a very important truth that we all need to know. It is not God's will to change his will to match our will. Can I have an amen? It is not God's will to change his will to match our will. Now, unanswered prayers in scripture and life, they teach us about God, but also, if we're not careful, also can make us question if spending time in prayer is worth it. Now, the Gospels contain many parables about prayer. This is the first of the series of parables, as John said, we picked up from last year. And a parable, we need to kind of get in our mind what a parable is. A parable is a story that Jesus tells, And it's a word, our English word parable comes right out of the Greek New Testament. New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, comes right out of the Greek New Testament, transliterated straight into English. Parabole, Greek, is parable, English. And parabole is actually a compound Greek word. It has a preposition and then a verb. It's para, which means alongside of. That's where we get the word parallel and alongside of. And then the word bale or bale, where we get our word ball. Bole. Parabole. So Jesus, when he's telling a parable, he brings an unfamiliar spiritual truth and throws it down, follow, throws it down alongside a very familiar earthly truth. So we have an unfamiliar spiritual lesson alongside a familiar earthly truth, and then he tells this parable so that we can see how the connection is made and learn and appreciate and apply the unfamiliar spiritual lesson. So Luke chapter 18 contains a parable that focuses on slow answers and no answers to prayer. Look at Luke 18, verse number 2. Jesus speaking this parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." I don't know if she sounded like that, but it could be Fran Drescher kind of voice, you know, and the New York accent. "Get justice for me from my adversary." And she comes every day. She comes every day into this guy's courtroom. And verse 4, and he would not. "Get out of my court. Can't stand the way you talk." He would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me every day, I'm going to avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wear me out." She wearies me. One commentator wrote, you know, here we have a widow who is being harassed to the point of needing legal protection, and a judge who not only has no respect for God, but none for people either. At the outset, it does not appear likely that she's going to get any help. "Get out of my court. What are you doing here? Get out. I don't want to hear it." It takes a long time, but the judge finally caves. "Lest by her continual coming, she weary me," he says. Now, the judge can see this woman means business, okay? This woman means business, and sheer weariness of her daily presence makes him give in to her request. Now, at first read, we might conclude, oh, I see what Jesus is trying to teach here. Jesus is teaching, pray hard enough, believe strong enough, recruit prayer warriors enough, and eventually an annoyed God will give us what we want. But we've heard earlier, Moses, Saul, David, Jeremiah, John the Baptist's disciples, Paul himself and our own prayer experiences inform us that badgering God until he caves into our will, that is not the meaning of this parable. That's not the meaning or interpretation of this parable. Our Lord's parable ends at verse 5, but not his teaching. I guarantee if we went down every row and talked to a person, to the person, 100%, all of us know what it's like to live in unbearable situations without the power or the skill to get ourselves out of it. We know what that's like. In our health, some of us face those kinds of traumatic health challenges. Others are church challenges, some in our home, some at school, in our relationships, some in our place of employment. And every single one of us, we could take the time and pull back the curtain, and on an honest day, you would say stressing, ulcer churning, migraine inducing situations are building up in my life to a breaking point. We all know what that feels like. When Kanye West's debut album, The College Dropout, became a double platinum selling record in 2004, he was already singing about faith in hit songs like Jesus Walks. Of course, there was certainly plenty of material in his songs that did not seem to align with Christian faith. Can I have an amen? But in 2019, that all changed. That all changed. Kanye's album, Jesus is King, followed an apparent radical conversion to Christianity in which he began to put on Sunday service with a huge mass choir backing him up. And Kanye announced from that point he intended to only record gospel records. Fast forward to today, and the story is very different. West is now producing anti-Semitic music videos, claims to be setting up a porn studio, and seems to have disowned the Christian faith just as swiftly as he embraced it. Christian YouTubers, What Do You Mean? And Ruslan KD, they interacted with Kanye about what went wrong. This is what they wrote, quote, "It appears he started asking Jesus for stuff and he wasn't getting it." The thing he prayed for the most was Kim Kardashian to stay married to him. And when she left, it seems Kanye quit praying. I get it. I get it. Suffering, lingering, drawn out, medical, financial, vocational, relational, misery. It just seems to go on and on and on, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, it seems. I get it. I get it. We are tempted to throw up frustrated hands and say, we were taught, praying about it does not work. Now, all of us have thought that. Maybe we haven't been so bold as to scream out at the person who said, well, just pray about it. Praying about it does not work. Maybe we don't get quite so confrontational, but I guarantee you we've all fought it. Can I have a witness? The rest of you that didn't say amen, put your halos down. Because I guarantee this is the human condition. All of us have prayed and gotten frustrated because God didn't answer that prayer when we wanted, how we wanted, and how we wanted. Can I have a witness? Amen. There you go. Praying about it does not work. Well, to that thought, Jesus changes the focus from an unjust human judge to the righteous divine judge. Would you look at verse number 6 of Luke chapter 18? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. In other words, did you hear what the unjust judge said? And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? In other words, Jesus is saying, is it even in doubt that God will avenge his own? I mean, is it even in question that God is going to step up to the plate? That's what he's saying. Now, the Greek word that's translated bear long with, it means to be slow to act, to delay in acting. And so Jesus is assuring us, even when God is slow to act and delays for what seems like forever, our God, our Heavenly Father, he will do right by us. You can say amen right there. Yes. Look at verse number 8, first part of the verse. I tell you, Jesus is promised. I promise you, I tell you, he will avenge them. Say that word out loud, congregation. What? Speedily? I've been praying for years about this. Got nothing. Speedily? Well, this is where we need to be mindful that there are two perspectives on time. Our perspective and God's perspective. See, in heaven's chronology, the Bible teaches us that 1,000 earth years are like one day in heaven. So if we take that literally, God could decide to answer our prayer later the same heaven day, and for us on earth, it would be decades after we prayed, but for him, it would be speedily. Hello? You see, Jesus is not blowing smoke here. He will answer, and he will answer in his timing. So Jesus ends his teaching with a mic drop question. Look at verse 8, the last part of verse number 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes and returns in his glory, will he really find, say that word, congregation, faith on the earth? So Jesus ends his teaching with a mic drop question, but he begins his teaching by stating exactly why he tells this parable to begin with. Look at verse number 1. Look back up at verse number 1. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. See, it's not to strong arm, not to strong arm our God, but to partner with God, we ought always to pray and not quit. Can I have a witness? Now, when faced with slow answers or no answers. To never stop praying and not get discouraged, that requires faith. That requires faith. Last part of verse number 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So Jesus states the purpose, reason, and point of telling this parable. Verse 1 again. Then he spoke a parable to them. For this purpose, for this reason, this is the point, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So the purpose is not if we pray hard enough and believe strong enough, then we can coerce God into providing what we want when we want it. That's not the purpose. The reason is not to teach us that if we get enough people piling on the same prayer, social media or otherwise, that we can pin God to the mat until he taps out and gives in. That is not the reason Jesus tells this parable. The point is always pray. Always pray, even when we don't get what we want, we don't get when we ask for it, and we don't get how we ask for it. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Don't grow weary in praying. Say amen right there. Prayer is a relationship with God, not a dictatorship over God. Can I have an amen? Amen? Though we continue, like the widow, to pray daily, once we comprehend this truth, that slow answers and answers of no are at God's discretion, we can breathe. We can relax. We can calm down. Because unless we have unconfessed sin in our life, we should not, this is so important, please listen, we should not blame ourselves for unanswered prayer. Unless we have unconfessed sin in our life, we should not blame ourselves for unanswered prayer. Oh, I just didn't pray hard enough. Oh, I just didn't believe hard enough. Or I just didn't recruit prayer warriors enough. No, we should not beat ourselves up for unanswered prayers. Because we got to realize that when our faith-filled prayers stand toe-to-toe with the sovereign will of Almighty God, the sovereign will of Almighty God takes precedence. His will wins. Now, I think it's significant that Jesus never details what the unjust judge did for the widow, and I believe it's because the size of the result is unimportant compared to the persistence in asking. Look again at verse number 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. God's sovereign wisdom and will determine his means, his manner, his method, and most importantly, his timing for answering our prayers. And that's why former pastor of Notre Dame in Paris said, if God would concede to me his omnipotence, give me all of his power, then you would see for 24 hours, if I had that power, you would see how many changes I would make in the world. But if he gave me his wisdom too, I would leave things as they are. I'm glad for that wisdom. As an older adolescent, I made a faith-filled prayer declaration of the girl I was going to marry. And I saw that girl 20 years later. And thank God my prayer was answered with a no. I'm just saying. Okay, everybody say, thank God. Yes, thank God, because if the Lord had listened to me back then in my faith-filled prayer declaration, releasing all the power of the Spirit that I could muster up, and you would not have your number one pastor's wife here. And, and Pastor John would not look half as good without my daughter standing next to him. I love you, John. I love you, man. Thank God he says no. In his wisdom, his will, his way, because God's infinite wisdom knows the best ultimate future outcome of all things. And if we can grab that and really understand that, we won't stop praying, even if we don't get what we think is best for us. We'll keep trusting God. And instead of getting angry and bitter at God, we'll close up and say, thank you, Father. I don't know why you're not giving me the answer to my prayer, but I know you know what's best. Give me an amen. Yes. See, sometimes we get to see God's wisdom in answering no, and sometimes we don't. But Moses, Saul, David, Jeremiah, John the Baptist's disciples, Paul, and we have logged real answers to prayer. Now, I could go through the Bible, multiplied Bible testimonies, thousands, I would say, or at least hundreds in the Bible that confirm God answers prayer. Can I have an amen? Amen. Just one, Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Just a couple others. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Fear not, the angel says, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. Cornelius, your prayers have come up before God. That's Acts chapter 10. I could go on and on and on. The point of this parable is to not lose heart in praying, even if the answer from our perspective is denied or a long, long time coming. A man named George Mueller, he lived a party life until he got saved. Lived from 1805 to 1898. And after he got saved, he had a great burden the Lord laid upon his heart. He cared for 10,024 orphaned children in Bristol, England during that time, never once asking for donations, never once going into debt, but just praying all of the needs in to care for those children. He wrote, "The great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. I don't have time to recount the thousands of prayers that God answered for George Mueller, save this one. He prayed every day for 52 years that two of his friends would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they trusted Christ at his funeral. 52 years without fail every day. He did not lose heart. He understood what Jesus was teaching. Now, God will not violate the free will of our family members. They must make their own choice to trust Christ. But an old English Baptist pastor, Charles Spurgeon, he reminds us, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to trust Jesus. And if hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. If we believe James 5:16, when Jesus comes, he will find us in the attitude of prayer. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16, second part of the verse. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it's not to strong arm our God, but to partner with God, we ought always to pray and not quit. Can I have a witness? If you'll bow your heads for just a moment, let me talk to you. The advice I've heard all my life turns out to be spot on. Pray about it. You never know if God, in his wisdom and will, answers exactly what, when, and how you ask. And if he doesn't, he has something better. Trust his heart. If you keep faith and do not give up praying. Now, the first prayer you ought to pray is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. At the end of the service, you come forward. Prayer team members can introduce you to Jesus. Second, Jesus taught men and women ought always to pray and not lose heart. You have a disease that you're praying to be healed? Do not quit praying. You have finances that you're praying to improve? Do not quit praying. You have children, grandchildren, or loved ones who need to come to faith, repent of sinful lifestyles, and walk with Jesus? Do not quit praying. You have relationship or marriage distress? Do not quit praying. Do not lose heart. Do not be discouraged. You have a choice to leave this building without praying. You can be like Kanye West who gave up on praying and he gave up on Jesus. However, you have another choice. In response to Jesus' parable, you ought to pray before you leave. At the end of worship, you come forward, join hands with prayer team members to bring your needs to our Heavenly Father. And if there are too many coming, grab the person next to you that you just learned their name a few moments ago when we were shaking hands and remind them, say, hey, my name is, and introduce yourself. I have a prayer need. What's your name and what's your prayer need? And then for those needs in your seats, in the aisles, in the lobby, in the atrium, you ought to pray together sincerely, and don't quit praying for each other after you leave. Now, God doesn't require a lot of fancy words, but in understanding this parable, end all those prayers with, Lord, not our will, but your will be done.